Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We just thank God for this day. Thank God for this broadcast. They overcame. We just thank God for his goodness and his mercy unto us this day. Hallelujah. Good morning, honey. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing good. Just thankful to God for seeing another day. Already been out this morning. It's a nice, beautiful, nice day. Crisp morning. I'm sure it'll turn hot later, but just glad to see this day. And on this special weekend, being Father's Day weekend, I just reach out and say Happy Father's Day to all fathers, and certainly give honor to my father, who was going on to be with the Lord, and of course, honor to my Heavenly Father, and just thankful for being a father myself, and because of my wonderful children, and certainly thankful to you, sweetheart, for making me a father. You blessed me and blessed me and blessed me and blessed me several times over, and I just thank God for that. Amen.
Yes, we just want to give honor to our fathers on this day. If you are a father, we say kudos to you. It's not hard to father a child, but to be a father is a blessing from God and quite a job. So we just give honor to the fathers, and we thank God for our fathers. I think about my dad, and he had a way about saying things, but always giving us wisdom and encouragement. He just had a way with words. He would never say to us something like, "You're pretty," but what he would say to us is, "Pretty is as pretty does." And I don't care how pretty you are, if you don't act pretty, you're not pretty. And that was his way of telling us that we were pretty, but also giving us wisdom as to how our character should be. So I just thank God for my daddy, Bill Woods. He was a funny man. He and my mom were pretty hilarious at times, and I just thank God for them. Honey, before we get started, you want to open us up with prayer?
Amen. We just ask everyone that's listening in at this time to pray with us, because the Bible lets us know that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we know that our Father certainly hears our faintest cry, so it behooves us to always seek the Lord, and every day, all day, pray without ceasing, the Bible says. So let us look to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you and we praise you and we honor you. We just worship you right now because you are God. You are awesome. You are mighty. You are glorious. You are faithful. Father, there just aren't enough words for us to describe how wonderful you are. But you are our God, and we are your children. And we just thank you for the relationship that we have. We thank you that you have called us into the kingdom for such a time as this. We thank you, even if we are not where we ought to be, just the fact that we are spending this time right now seeking you. We know, Lord God, that it's not because of us, but it's because of your Spirit working in us to draw us to you. We just thank you for that. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for peace. We thank you for life. We thank you for liberty. We thank you, Lord God, for this broadcast on today and for everything that shall go forth, because we know that you have ordained this broadcast. We know that you have ordained every word that will be spoken. They are words of encouragement, words of ministry, words of power, words of faith that shall be just emanated throughout this, not only this community, but throughout this nation, throughout this world. Lord God, we just thank you. Encourage right now, Lord God, those who need encouragement through the words that come today. Heal, Lord God, those that need healing through the words that come today. Lift up those whose hands are bowed down, Lord, in the name of Jesus. As the testimonies go forth, hallelujah, let hope just be spread throughout the world, that the world will know that there is hope for whatever the situation is. You have already done the work. Hallelujah. The price has been paid. And Lord, all we need to do is just look to you. We thank you, Lord God, for your awesome power, your faithfulness, your healing power, your delivering power. We thank you, Lord God, for healing every situation. Bodies, Lord God, that are filled with ailments and disease. Finances that need healing. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Mental situations. Lord God, we thank you for healing right now, for just stabilizing the minds of your people. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Even relationships, we thank you, Lord God, because of the unions that you have put together now, Lord God. Let the healing even flow into those unions, that they will be healed, Lord God, and just walk as a team, ministering to your people, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, and we just thank you for this broadcast. Bless the host, Lord God, and even our overall host, Sister Adrian, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, honey, for that prayer. And by way of announcement, I do want to encourage everyone that's listening to share. You're listening, but share with your friends and family about the broadcast, both broadcasts, actually, New Destiny Ministries, hosted by Evangelist Adrian Bernard, who airs every day, such a blessing every day for the woman of God to come on and give encouragement and give a pulpit to some ministers who don't have pulpits, but she uses a lot of renowned ministers that minister, are expert, they're not novice, and relating the word of God and breaking the bread of life with her audience. And she comes on every day at 1 o'clock Pacific time, 4 o'clock Central time, Eastern time, and 3 o'clock Central time. I know I'm doing that backwards, but it's 1, 3, and 5. She comes on every day. And our broadcast, spread the word about They Overcame. And call in and give us your testimony. The world needs to hear the testimonies and what God is doing in the lives of his people, what God is doing in the lives of not just his people, because the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. Yes, the enemy does give gifts, but his gifts are not perfect. His gifts are not good, but the gifts of God are good and perfect. So just spread the word, call in, give us your testimonies. We're so excited, and we just wait for Saturday to come so that we can hear the testimonies. I often say that back home at the Apostolic Pentecostal Church of Morgan Park, my home church, our home church, where we had testimony service that was so awesome and so inspiring that I wanted to carry this over. And not just me, because I know that God gave this to me. It's not of my own thinking, but something that God has desired from us, because he said that if we didn't praise him, that even the very rocks would cry out. So we don't want any rocks crying out for us. And yes, you may share your testimony with those that are close to you, those that are, you know, near you and your 3-foot radius. Maybe you do and maybe you don't, but just call and let the world know what God is doing for you in these times. We're living in times that are so frightful and helpless. I was talking to a friend on this week, and she was telling me about, she still lives in Chicago, and how frightening it is there now with all the killings that are going forth. I'm so thankful to God that he allowed us to move from the area, not because we didn't love the area. And when we left, 13 years ago, my God, 13 years ago this month, things were not as bad as they are now. But we still know a God that is able to protect. He protects you. Cover yourself, cover your children with the blood every day when they have to go out. And we do have to go out into the world. We have to go to work. We have to go to school. You know, now that the summer is out, the kids don't want to be just cooped up in the house. But cover your children with the blood, as my husband was saying about prayer. It's vitally important that we become prayer warriors in the time that we're living in. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's out there in the world, because we have a God that's able to protect us in every situation. And I'm reminded of a testimony that I heard from a sister from another church. And her brother, Bishop Noel Nicholson Jr., I can't think of her name, but it was one of his oldest sisters, and she was saying how she worked a night shift, so she had to be on the bus. She didn't have a vehicle, so she had to be on the bus to go back and forth. That was her transportation. Thank God for the transportation that runs 24/7. Yeah, in Chicago, we have like an awesome transit authority system that runs 24/7, and you're able to get back and forth to where you need to go to most places, not every place, but a great percentage of the places you can get to on the bus. But anyway, she was saying how she had gotten off the bus and noticed a man as she was walking, walking behind her. And I guess he was at a greater distance than she was at a greater distance than he was. And how she started walking in, and she just felt in her spirit that something was not right. So she started walking a little faster. And as she started walking fast, he started walking fast. And she said that then it really kind of shook her, so she started running. And as she started running, he started running. And he overcame her. And she said when he got up on her, not, I don't think he got a chance to touch her, but she just started pleading the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And she said the young man or the man fell to the ground screaming. Like every time she'd say the blood of Jesus, he just was screaming that like someone was hitting him or something. And she said she just screamed, screamed, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And ultimately, she was able to walk away. The man was rendered helpless, couldn't bother her, couldn't do the plan that God, that the devil had intended for her. God, I'm telling you, that blood is powerful. It's still powerful. It still will ward off the attacks of the enemy. So just if you live in an area where there is a lot of danger and killing and strife and even in your life, in your home, just remember the blood of Jesus has never, ever, ever lost its power. Never lost its power. Amen. Honey, do you have anything to share with us? We see our guest here. I'm going to prepare. I have something prepared to talk about. But are you there, honey? Honey? Well, I guess he's not there. So we just got to carry on. Amen. And I was doing a series a while ago that came from Pastor Gregory Dickow, a very fine pastor in the Chicagoland area. He has been an inspiration to me for a while now, and I have enjoyed his ministry and enjoyed the things that the Lord has given him to share with his people. And so I'm going to continue that series. And the series is called Fasting from Wrong Thinking. We have a lot of things that are going on in the world now, and our minds are inundated with tragedy and horror and calamity and suffering and pain and fear, and we have to, but our minds, Joyce Myers wrote a book, and she said the battlefield is in the mind, starts in the mind. I know that my mind can be very active sometimes and very concentrating on the things that I shouldn't be concentrating on, but some of the things that I do. So when I saw that I was looking at his broadcast and he was talking about the series that he was doing, Fasting from Wrong Thinking. And I said, this is a good thing. And I said, even on the broadcast, I will start sharing this, because a lot of us do have issues that we're dealing with, that if we can get our minds together, then we can change the things, the outcome of the things that are happening in our lives. And we're on day number 6, and the thinking this day, we're fasting from feeling helpless. In the situations that we're in, sometimes we can feel just like there's nothing that we can do. But I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that even when I am not able to handle the things that are happening, when I am not able to overcome my mindset of the things that are frightening or the things that seemingly are unsurmountable by me, that I have a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above, hallelujah, all that I can ask or even fathom in my mind. He's able to do that. So today we fast from the thought that says, I feel helpless. The feeling of helplessness comes from a sense of powerlessness. The enemy would love for you to think you are powerless, which makes you feel helpless. Sometimes we get into situations that we don't know how we're going to get out of it. We don't know if we'll get out of it. We just know that we are in a situation that is, that renders us helpless. But today, let's change that. Let's change that. I know that we had gone through a situation from November through February, a frightening situation as far as I was concerned, of things that were happening in our life. And I felt helpless, but I was sharing with my friend on this week that how when I felt helpless, there had been a time where I would run from the situation and not run to God, but really run away from God, because I wouldn't turn to my word. I wouldn't turn to prayer. I just went into myself, and that's the wrong thing to do when you're facing a situation that it seemingly is to destroy you or to destroy someone in your family. Someone is sick, or someone is facing some charges that seemingly will not allow them to allow them to overcome it. But today, you're sitting on a power keg. Sorry about that. You're sitting on a power keg. God has given you power, love, and a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. It's in you. You don't earn the power. It's a gift. And it's so ironic that we would have, this would be the lesson that I left off on, because I was just telling her that we are fearful sometimes. We do get into situations that are very fearful, and, you know, that they would want to say to us that we are not supposed to be fearful. But I differ with that, because I believe that the reason that God puts things in the Bible is because he knows that we are going to have issues with that thing. And in several places, it talks about fear. I know that when my sons were younger, they were my Christopher that I love talking about was, we watched Sesame Street all the time. I was blessed to be able to be at home with my boys during their formative years, and they would watch Sesame Street. And Chris was afraid of Elmo. And so he loved watching Sesame Street, and he wasn't afraid when he watched it, but at night he would be so fearful and scared that Elmo was coming to get him. And so we pulled out of a lot of scriptures from the Bible, letting us know that we don't have to be fearful. So there are a lot of scriptures in the Bible that talks about fear, and I feel like if we did not have fear in our life, God would not have put those in there. So I just want to say that when we find ourselves in fear, run to God, run to the Word. There is an answer for you in the Word. There is help for you in the Word. It is something in the Word that will touch the situation that you're in. Now, maybe it won't touch entirely. You know, maybe it won't say specifically, but you can use that in a situation in your life, like we were able to use those situations, okay? And number two is start your day doing inventory. Philemon 6 says, acknowledge every good thing already in you, in Christ. List what you do have. It frees you from worrying about what you don't have. Hallelujah. We used to sing, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Hallelujah. If many of you are friends with me on Facebook, my sister from Indiana, Sheila Foster, and I, and others have joined in, and we've been putting in some of those old gospel songs that we used to sing, and oh my goodness, it just is such a blessing to think about those songs. I love the songs that we sing now, but it's something about those old songs that will bring you in to the place of God, hallelujah, where you can just go in and find yourself in the presence of God, hallelujah. Honey, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. He's on the road, but he is graciously still online with me. I thank you for that, honey. And sometimes I have to turn to you to get some of the words that I'm not able to always come up with. And you have such a memory and songs that you grew up on. I was grown when I got saved. I was attending church, but not really in church. But you were a pew baby, as they called them, a womb baby. There,
yeah,
in
all
church.
The way, all the way.
Even before you knew anything, you were there. So you were able to, you helped me with some of those words from those old songs, and I'm telling you, it's nothing like thinking about those songs and thinking about what God has done for you. If you are able to remember those things, it takes your mind off of it, and such an encouragement for you. I know it is for me, and that's why we do it. Wouldn't you agree, honey, it's such an encouragement when you think about the things that God has done for you. It allows you to know, it builds you up.
It really is. And then as I, even to remember when I first, shortly after I moved to Georgia, and this is something that I had never really thought about, but there was the person that, well, God was responsible for getting me there, but the person that he used to set me up with that job, he was a Christian, and we were talking one day, and we were talking about
even how the music is so different these days, the worship music and how good it is. He said, but you still can't beat those old hymns, because something about those old hymns, those old songs that really just testify of who God is. You know, we sing songs like I Worship You Just Because of Who You Are, but some of those old songs really tell us who God is and what he's done for us and what he can do and what he will do. And it's just something about them, when you start singing them, they just make you, I don't know, they seem to take you in sometimes. Sometimes right down the street, I'll just get started on one of them, and just are so encouraged. Just, I'm so encouraged just knowing that God, as we go through our situations, those songs let us know that God's got us. And the bottom line is God is just faithful. And we just thank God for the inspiration of the songs that he has inspired in people.
Yes. So do your inventory. Start your day with, you know, thanking God. I thank you, we used to say, for waking me up this morning and starting me on my way and in my right mind. Yes, Lord, start your inventory. And number three is remember whose image you are made in. God made you in his image. Then he said, take dominion. Genesis 1:26-28. Not only do you have the power, you have a mandate from God to use it to rule in this life. Sometimes the enemy wants us to think that, like when Moses took the 12 to spy out the land, and they said, and we were the people in the land. Yeah, the land is flowing with milk and honey, but the people are giants, and we're like grasshoppers to them, and we, you know, they lost heart. They forgot whose image they were made in. They forgot that God had brought them out of Egypt. And again, it's just so funny that we were talking about that very thing, about forgetting the things that God has done for us before, because those things are done to help us to know what God can do for us. And what God has done for us should encourage us that if he overcame this for me, I didn't have a job, but I never went without a meal. I still had a roof over my head. I still, you know, was able to go and come. I wasn't able to do everything, but I still was sustained. And God is a sustainer. And we forget about those things. And God said that we have take dominion. He said for us to take dominion over these things. Hallelujah. We forget. You know, that's why we have to run to the Word, and that's why we have to talk to one another, and that's why this program is so vitally important, because the world needs to know that God is still in the healing business. We take dominion over sickness. We take dominion over sickness when we hear that someone has been healed from cancer. It encourages us to say, you know what, I can take dominion over this situation in my body, in the body of my husband, or in the body of my children. I don't have to accept what the enemy says that we have. I don't accept that. I don't accept it. I'm taking dominion, hallelujah, over this situation. And we just have to remember what God says. But God said, when my children were young, and we have four boys, and a daughter, but we have our three sons were right there together. And Timothy is after Christopher, and when Timothy was young, if we would say something and it was different from what Chris had said, and he would say, Christopher said, but Christopher said, but Christopher said. Remember that, honey?
we would tell him something
and he would say, but Christopher said, but Christopher said. And that's what we need to do. We need to say, but it is written. It is written, but my God said, hallelujah, it is written, like Jesus during the time of the 40-day wilderness temptation that he went through. When the enemy came to him and he was saying, it is written. In other words, God said, hallelujah, God said. So that's what we have to do. We got to remember whose image we're made in. We have to remember what God said, hallelujah. And how we know what God said is being in our word, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, and then number four says, release your power through forgiveness. Knowing you're forgiven and then forgiving people is a force that releases amazing power and freedom in your life. If there's no one to forgive, find someone who needs forgiveness and tell them about Jesus' forgiveness. Oh, my God. We have stopped so many things in our lives by harboring unforgiveness. And we don't even realize the damage that it does when we are not a forgiving person. The Bible says that if we can't forgive, then God can't forgive us. We always, I know that situations in my life where the Lord has told me, especially in my young days of salvation, the Lord would have me in apologizing to people. And I always felt like, well, why am I apologizing? They're the one that did something to me. I didn't do anything to them. But I guess God was, I know God was building that up in me to let me know that's how important forgiveness is, so that I'm free to bless you. When you don't forgive, then God is not free to do the things for you that he wants to do for you, because you block him from being able to forgive you. And when we're not forgiven, then we are in a place where God can't do the things for us that he wants to do. So let's remember, let's always be a forgiver of people. And if we, like it said, if you don't have anything, which I can't see that possible, but if you don't have anything to forgive someone for, then find someone that is not saved and share the love of God with them. Ask God for wisdom. The Bible says that a wise man wins souls. So ask God for wisdom. He said that if we ask him for it, he'll give it to us, and he won't withhold any wisdom from us. He'll give us all that we need in the time that we need it. So let's forgive. Let's learn how to be forgiving it. And ask God. It's not easy to forgive someone that has done something to you. It's not an easy thing, I don't think, when someone has injured you or someone has done something to cause you injury. It is the same thing, but anyway, ask God to help you. Lord, I don't know how to forgive this person. I am so hurt by what they did to me, but you can help me. You can help me do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which give me the strength. So help me, Lord. Go to God for every situation. Everything is important to God. If he numbered the hairs on your head, hallelujah, then your slightest thing that you're dealing with, he is able to help us with. He said that we must come to him like children. Little children come, they can have a little scratch on their finger. And they'll come to their parents and, you know, say, oh, I got it, you know, I hurt myself, and show you this little scratch. You can't, sometimes you can't hardly see the scratch. It's so tiny. But that's how God wants us to be with him. We say, oh, I don't need to take this to God. But yes, we do. Yes, we need to take everything to God. Everything. The Bible says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will give us wisdom. He will give us the ability to forgive, and he will give us the ability to spread his love and forgiveness.
And you know what, baby?
Yeah.
I was saying, as you were talking about forgiveness, and so many times people don't realize that. I know that, as you stated, it's hard to forgive sometimes when people have hurt you, injured
right.
you, and then that's an emotional thing. But we can often overcome our emotions. I think of the example of how, let me just kind of give a little illustration. Sometimes we know of men that don't have a problem hitting or striking a woman, but in the same, and they just think that they're so emotional, but at the same time, in the same circumstance with another man, specifically a bigger man, somehow they find a way to restrain their emotions. So that's a decision. And then to follow up, looking at forgiveness, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, one of those things that he said for them to say in their prayer, forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our debts, as we forgive others. So when we really think about forgiveness, if we honestly pray that prayer and know what Jesus has said, we will be forgiven as we forgive. So when we make that, when we just can't emotionally let go, but when we think about that, decisions are based on knowledge, and the right kind of knowledge can come overcome a lot of emotions, a lot of fears. So we just need to think about the things that God has told us. And God has told us that we need to be forgiving. So sometimes it's just a decision based upon knowledge. And Jesus said, we forgive, we are forgiven as we forgive. Whatever you sow, that you're going to reap. So if you're sowing unforgiveness, you're going to reap unforgiveness. So just think about that when it comes time to forgive.
Amen. It's vitally important. We think that it's just a small thing, but it's not a small thing to God. And so it shouldn't be a small thing to us. We must forgive. We must forgive. And then the fifth thing is looking outward, not inward today. See the world as needing your help. As you help someone else, you will not only feel empowered, but also you will reap help as you sow help. Like you were just saying, honey, what the Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that's what he will reap. And if you sow good things will come back to you. Who can
Amen.
You help today?
Amen.
Who can you help today? Who can you, you know, who can you reach out to? Someone that's suffering, that's in a worse shape. And you know what? A lot of times, people will look at the situation where they'll say someone that is at a higher stance than they are, a higher place than they are. They may have more money than you have. They may be driving a better car than you drive. They may, you know, live in a bigger home than you live in. And you say, well, they don't need my help. But something on the inside of you, and it's the Holy Ghost telling you to come to this person's aid. If you look inwardly today, you won't that will keep you from helping the person that needs your help. God said that He will direct you. He will direct you. If we say that we are going to help. We are going to pay. We are going to endure the things that we should endure. Then we will. I think I checked out, honey. Oh no, I can't be. I'm online. Okay. then we will be doing the things that God has for us to do. I closed it down, so I wasn't able to see it. But just think about what God wants you to do. Don't think about yourself. Sometimes when we just think about ourselves, we get the feeling that we're the only one here. It's our four and no more. But you will be encouraged. You will be empowered when you help someone. Help someone and see how it's so helpful to you, how it encourages you, how it helps you to overcome the things that are going on in your life, to overcome the helplessness that you're feeling. And excuse me, it says, I am free from feeling helpless. I have the power of God. He has given me power, love, and a sound mind. I am made to take dominion over my life. I will not be dominated by life, not for another second. I release the power of forgiveness over my life and others, and I expect supernatural help to show up in my life today in Jesus' name. And it's signed Gregory Dickow. Oh my God, that's a powerful lesson and so helpful in the times that we're living in now, feeling like we're helpless, feeling like there's no way out for us, feeling like we're going down for the last time and we're not going to rise. But God said that He would help us in a time of trouble. He will be there for us. And we just need to know that. We need to expect God to do great things in our lives and not look at the situations and the circumstances. Don't be foolish, of course, but looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That was one of my beloved sainted pastor, Robert A. Baggett, one of his favorite scriptures he would quote all the time. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I just thank God for, you know, that lesson on today. And I don't have any callers as of yet. So, honey, do you have anything that you want to share with us? I know that you are probably en route or there where you're going. But before you leave us, did you want to share something with us?
I'm just actually enjoying all that being taught on this
want to hear certainly good words to live by. And I just appreciate how God is just feeding us with his word through, you know, all the different ministries that are going forth. And there's really no reason for us anymore to be ignorant. You know, Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. And we just as the saints have so much knowledge in front of us, and it just is important for us to take advantage of it, because there are times that when we get down because of circumstances do bring us down. We're going through some stuff right now that it just, I sometimes just thank God, because when I look at how he has kept just even our mind, because some of the things that we've gone through, that I've gone through, I can point to different people all across this world, even in my sphere of knowledge, that have just gone into all kinds of bad things because of the circumstances that they've experienced. I mean, whether it be drugs, alcohol, just nervous breakdown, just, I don't know, homelessness, all kinds of things that have happened to people that have gone through the same thing that we've gone through, but God has kept our mind. So when I wake up, you mentioned earlier about just taking inventory and thanking God, starting out the day by saying, you know, thank you that I woke up in the right mind. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal, because people are just losing their minds because of circumstances. And as we look at the world, the circumstances seem to be getting worse, not better. You know, like the woman that had the issue of blood, who had done all she could, spent all of her money, and instead of things getting any better, they just got worse, the Bible said. But when she encountered Jesus, it was all taken care of. She was healed, her sins were forgiven, and there was just no more issue of blood. Whatever our issues are, if we take them to Jesus, if we would just have an encounter with Jesus, all those things that have seemed to be getting worse and worse and worse and worse, just touch Jesus, and we'll find that everything will become all right. The circumstances may or may not go away, but you'll keep our minds. The Bible even says, you know, whose mind is stayed on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. So that's our peace. Jesus is our peace. And I just,
yes,
I just thank God for that.
Amen. Yes, we are. Well, the Bible says we're troubled on every side. Yes, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. We are. I'm sorry. I just got a text message from our guest. So she will be calling in shortly. Well, we just thank God. Thank you, honey. I know that you have to go. Are you there?
I'm not quite there yet. I had a late start. I had to stop for gas. So we'll be there in a moment, though.
Okay. Well, we can keep talking until the guest calls in. And she just sent her information to me. She is the founder of Divine Destiny for Teen Mom, Inc. And she is, like I said, she's the CEO, and she's the founder of this ministry. And she is a woman of faith, because you have to have faith to be able to take on an undertaking like she has. They serve teen moms from 14 to 22 years old, and that's an awesome responsibility, you know, to try to aid those young ladies in their time of need. Some of them have been cast out, I'm sure, by their families. Some of them are in situations that just need someone to be there for them, and she is there. She has answered the call of God, and I'm going to bring her on right now. Are you there, Felicia?
I am here. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I am good. I'm good.
Amen. Amen. And she is, like I said, I don't know if you heard me, Felicia, or not, but she is the CEO, the bishop, she is the one that God has called to aid young women that have had babies out of wedlock, and they just need someone to help them. They need someone to be there for them, and it's a ministry. It's really a ministry that you do for those teen, divine destiny for teen moms. Tell us a little bit first before you get started. Just tell us a little bit about Felicia Brown Townsend.
Well, I am a mother of six boys. I had my first son at the age of 16 years old, and I had my second son at 18. So I've been in church all my life, but I really dedicated my life to God in March 25th, 1999, where I'm a member of APC of Morgan Park with Bishop Ellis. I've been married for 13 years now, been with my husband since I was 18. And, you know, God just really laid it on my heart to do this for teen moms, because I know the obstacles that I had to go through back in the early 90s. And we didn't have the help that is out there now to assist teen moms. It's a lot of help out there. They just don't know how to get the resources or how to get the help or ask for help. And, you know, we as a society really look down on teen moms. We don't know their situations or, you know, how they became a teen mom or why they became a teen mom, but we stereotype them. You know, if they have on tight clothes, we talk about them. You know, if they have a child on their hip, one in their belly, and one in the stroller, we talk about them instead of going up to them or, you know, just saying, you know, do you need any help, or God bless you, baby, or anything like that. Our first thing is negativity. So I, you know, basically started Divine Destiny for Teen Moms to really let the young women, young mothers know that there is someone out there that will stand up for you, that will, you know, fight for everything that you deserve, and push you to becoming a high school graduate, to becoming an eighth grade graduate, to becoming a college graduate, and to get in a field that you're comfortable with, to tell you that because you have a baby, that is not going to stop you to do the things that you need to do.
Amen. Well, you're the mother of six
yes.
men.
Yes. Yes.
I am the mother of four sons, And I know my house was crazy. So
I can't imagine
two more.
No, you got to add three because you got to add three because the husband is the biggest child of them all. So you have to add three. So you got to look at, I was the mother of seven.
Yes. So I know that my house was pretty active. The boys, and I guess when Chris turned, I guess like he couldn't have been 13, but wow, I guess when Chris turned like 10, they started wrestling with the Harvey Twisters. And so they wrestle, they still now will grab each other and try to bring them down. And it's just crazy. It's just crazy. But like I said, I can't imagine having six young men in the house
wow.
at the time. Your kids are spread a little wider than mine. Mine are kind of like stair steps. So there we
mine are
right
too. So, yeah, the last one, he's 14, but I have two stepsons. One is 24 and one is 20, and then my biological son is 20, 19, 18, and 14. So mine are stair steppers also.
So I can imagine. I can imagine one of the things of being in the house as a female by yourself alone.
Yes.
But my husband did a good job of not making me feel, feel like I was less than important. He always made me feel important, and actually he had such a I don't know what to say on his hands. Sundays he would give to me. I didn't have to do anything for the boys. It was just about me on Sundays, and so he had me. I mean, the boys to deal with on Sundays, and then he was Bishop's armor bearer, so he had getting up early, making breakfast, making sure the boys were dressed correctly, and then getting us off to church and being on time, because he's very timely, so we would have to get out on time. I'm just was so blessed, that the Lord blessed us to get together. But anyway, so Felicia, I know your dad came to the church before you did, right?
Yes, he did.
Uh-huh. And then later you came, and I always enjoyed that beautiful smile, and excuse me, your positive attitude. You always seemed like you were just so happy and just so full of God. I wasn't there long with you, maybe about 5 years, but I just remember, you and that beautiful smile that you had, and you were always smiling and rejoicing in the Lord. And then when I heard that you were doing this, I could see you being an encourager of women, because you are such a joyful person. And I know that we go through our tests and our trials, and sometimes we put on a face of a smile, but something inwardly. Came out when you were at church, and that's what I always admired about you. And
goodness. I just want you to know that.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that it's very important that we grab a hold of our youth today. And we not only help the teen moms, we also help the teen fathers because, you know, we believe that if we're helping the teen fathers to get to a point in their life where they don't have to sell drugs or they don't have to gang bang and they have their education and they have a trade behind them and they get that first paycheck and they know that that paycheck is in their name and they're doing something positive for their baby mama and their, you know, child, then that fortifies them because that puts them on a level. And then the teen mom, you know, tries to match that or tries to, you know, get to that point where the baby father is. And, you know, because, you know, although, you know, they're still teens, they, once they become, you know, a family man, they're the head. And so, you know, when the head is happy, everybody else is happy. And so we just believe that, you know, working with the both of them, it will strengthen their bond and strengthen their motivation to really get out there and do something with their life and not just be another statistic. So we do, you know, service also the teen father because that's important. We can't leave the teen father out just to say, oh, we're going to focus on the teen mom. That's not what we do. So we focus on both. You know, as a whole, we focus on both of them.
Amen. Well, that I didn't know that because it says that your organization is called for Teen Moms.
Divine Destiny for Teen Moms. Yes, it is called that, but we do focus on the teen fathers also because we feel that that's a package. You know, the girl didn't make the child by herself. So, you know, why just focus on the girl? You know, if we can focus on the young man also, that will be all the more, you know, successful in my eyes.
Right. Uh-huh. So you find resources for them and programs for them to get into. Is that what your organization does?
No, our organization basically we provide the different services. Right now we're looking for a location, you know, to be able to house the girls in, and also do our different classes at one location. Right now we just rent out different places to do training or to do baby showers for them or to host parties or whatever we need to do at this particular time. And then what we do is we look for different things, like look for jobs, look for daycare, because we don't have a facility at this point. And so once we get a facility, then everything will be located at that one facility for them so that they're not trying to go different places. It's in one central location.
Okay, amen. Well, give that information to our listeners. You sent it to me, but give that. If anyone would like to, you take donations, correct?
Yes, we take donations. We're actually also doing a couple of events coming up. We're doing, we're sponsoring one event for lupus because I was diagnosed with lupus in 2011. And so we are sponsoring an event for that. We're going to also do a fundraiser, a basketball tournament coming up for girls and boys and men and women, and then we're doing a golfing event. So we're trying to really let people know who we are and what we do and what we're about. So we are, you know, accepting donations also. Our information is, the email is Divine, which is spelled D Y as in yellow, V as in Victor, I N E, and then Destiny, D E S T I N Y. The letter S as in Frank, T as in Tom, M as in Mary, S as in Sam, at yahoo.com. And then we're on Facebook also as Divine Destiny FTMS. Our mailing address is 22332 Governors, Governors Highway, Suite 170. And that's Richton Park, RichtonPark, Illinois, 60471. And our phone number is 708-465-7665. And our website will be back up soon. We had to do some things to it and put up pictures from an event we had in February. So we're doing, changing a lot of stuff on our website, but it will be back up and running. So you can email us, you can call us to get that information.
Now, how you, because you were a teen mom, that really inspired you to start this with the leading of the Lord, I'm sure. And how long
yeah.
have you guys been in existence?
We've been in existence since last year. I had another organization that I had started maybe about 3 years ago, and that wasn't going the way I wanted it to go because it was me. And I really basically stopped for a while and, you know, sought God on it and, you know, end up coming up with Divine Destiny. And he said, take the, you know, the I out, because it's not about, you know, just I, it's about you as a whole. So that's why it's spelled D-Y, because we, you know, have to focus on their future and their
mm-hmm.
goals. So it's spelled a little bit different. Hold on for 1 minute.
All right. That's so important, as she was saying, about seeking God. Sometimes we do things and we think that because we're doing those things, and they may be good things to do, but it's not what God has given you to do. So it's vitally important that when we do something, that it's God ordered by God, you know. That's that he can get the glory out of it, and that you're being obedient to what he has planned for your life. It's
Correct.
Important. It's important. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just saying correct.
Yeah.
Sorry, chasing a dog, so. Yeah, she's the daughter I didn't have, and she gives you a run for your money.
I always sit back and I think, Lord, you knew, you know, what was best for me, and you didn't give me any daughters. So I prayed the prayer years ago that my daughter-in-law would be the daughters that God did not give to me, that they would be daughters and not daughter-in-laws, that, you know, that they would love me and I could love them as if
Correct.
They were my own natural children. And I have a daughter-in-law, Miss Tiffany, that is like a daughter to me. And I have daughters that God has given me along the way, goddaughters that God has placed us in each other's lives and have loved each other. And I've tried to help them, you know, in any way that I can. But anyway, enough about me. You're the guest.
Hold on for 1 minute. Hold on. You can finish up. Okay. Hold on.
Okay. And so we have to be led by God in the things that we do. We can't just decide that we're going to do something. And that's what I was saying earlier. You seek God, and God will direct your path. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge me. We can do things, like I said, that are things that need to be done, things that are important, things that are good, but is it what God has for you in your life? Is it the things that you're supposed to do? I've gone astray doing things that I thought were good things to do, but did not get fulfillment out of them because they weren't the things that God had for me to do. And not that the things that you do for God will be without trouble. It doesn't mean that things will always go smoothly. It doesn't mean that everything will be, you know, just right. Things don't always go that way. But if you persevere, if you trust God, if you believe that this is what God has called you to do, and you know that this is what God has called you to do, He gives you the grace to be able to accept the down setting and the uprising. He gives you the grace to accept the things that don't work out the way that you thought that they should work out. He gives you the grace to accept disappointment, because sometimes there is disappointment in the things that we do, but things don't work out quite the way that we feel like they should work out. We kind of get in a place of depression, or, you know, maybe God didn't call me to do it, but if something on the inside of you is still, even through the disappointment, if something on the inside of you is still has that desire to do it, then I say that that's what you should do. It's one thing to do something for yourself, but it's, oh my God, it's so fulfilling, empowering to do the things that God has called you to do. Like our guest today, she said that she tried something a little different and it wasn't working the way that she thought it should be working. And so God gave her this, and it's usually something that in your life that you've gone through that inspires you to want to help someone in the same situation, because you can relate to them. You can relate to the situations and circumstances that they will find and the challenges that they will find in their lives. You will be able to relate to them. So, are you back,
correct,
Felicia?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay. Okay, well, now you're doing this thing for God, and you come to a place where you find you're being challenged in your health.
Yes.
So now give us that testimony. It's one thing to do a work for God and your health is perfect or is good. You have good health. But to do something for God after you find yourself in a place of need, and you find yourself in a place of needing God to do something for you. Give us that testimony.
Well, back in 2011 is when I actually kind of decided to go back and revamp the organization and get things right. And so in 2011, I found out I had lupus and didn't know what it was, didn't understand what they were saying, so I Googled it and looked it up, and I was like, oh, man, you know, I can't have this. You know, I'm very active. I can't stay in the house too long. I can't sit down too long. I like to talk to people, any type of people, whoever they are, whatever they are. I like to talk, so I can't have this this illness that will stop all of that. So I didn't understand. I didn't understand what God was doing, why he was doing it, why me, you know, why me. And so it didn't affect me. You know, I still, you know, got up, did what I need to do, and went to work. And then in 2012, I, you know, God told me, okay, it's time. It's time to go ahead and revamp and, you know, get this thing right. And so I did in August of 2012. And from that point on is, you know, all hell broke loose on me. The lupus really started affecting me. It started affecting, you know, the different things I did, how I did it. Started affecting my joints a little bit more. And so I kind of knew that, okay, I'm on the right track. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing because, you know, I'm getting attacked in my body, in my mind, different, you know, other places. And so I continued to push on. I was working at the time, and what I would do was I would take, I got paid every week, so I would take two paychecks out of the month and put it into the organization. And that helped me to, you know, do the various baby showers for the girls and get them clothes that they needed and baby stuff. So it was just me, you know, doing this. And then I inquired on two young ladies that came aboard with me, and we really started, you know, putting some things together. And then I got some other board members, and you know, we began to do some things, and so earlier in the year, it really started affecting me, where really I couldn't do as much as I like to do, and my body started kind of going down, but I still, you know, in the back of my mind, trusted God, because he said that he would not put more on us than we can bear. So if he put this on me, he must know I can bear this thing and overcome it. And, you know, I do have challenges. You know, I was actually in the emergency room last night with excruciating pain. But, you know, I told God, I said, okay, God, you said by your stripes I am healed, and I'm walking in this thing. And so, you know, the doctor asked me last night, at about 1 this morning, do you want to stay? I said, no, I want to go home. I have something to do. You know, so I came home and went to sleep and just began to thank God for my healing. Because I know, and even if he does not do it, I know that he is well able to, because he did it so many other times for me. So even if this is something that I have to live with, just like the thorn that's in your leg and you got to live with that thing, even if I have to, I know that God is going to give me the grace and the mercy to endure this thing, to be able to tell other people, you can do this. You know, you may have to change your eating habit. You may have to change what you do. I begin to start at 8 o'clock in the morning. Every day I get up and I walk. It's called a Vomer Trail. It's a forest preserve. It's 3.6 miles, and I walk that every morning. And as I'm walking and as I'm taking every step, I'm thanking God for my healing. And so, you know, I have changed my eating habits. I've been in my word a little bit more, you know, to understand, you know, God's plan for my life, and his plan was this. And I'm meeting so many people that have been diagnosed with lupus or that has been living with lupus or, you know, don't know if they have lupus or not. And so that's a amazing thing that you get connected with so many different people. And a lot of people don't know, you know, that there's four stages of lupus. You have the skin, you have the blood, you have the joint, and you have the last stage, which affects your organs. I myself have the one that affects your joint and your skin. So it's a little bit hard to deal with on some days, but I push myself because I know it's probably one person out there that's waiting to meet me, to hear my story, to know that God is still able to do what he said he was going to do. And I know that he's not going to put more on me than I can bear, so I have to endure this thing. And I found out that it's not for me. I'm going through this thing because it's for somebody else. And I need to be able to tell these young girls, no matter how much you're faced with obstacles and people saying that you can't do it and what you're not going to be able to do, that you can do it, because I'm a living witness, that you can still push and push and push, you know, and God sees your heart and God sees where you're going, and he will give you that you so desire. So that's me. You know, I you know, you look and say, oh God, I'm 35 years old, I have this, and you know, what about this and what about that? And you know, God told me one day, why not you? Why not you? Why not? What are you complaining about? Why not? You know, you're still able to get up. You're still able to do stuff for yourself. You're still able to dress yourself. You're still able to cook a little bit. You're still able to do the things that you need to do. Why not you? There's people that can't even do it. That's lying on their back. They're waiting on you. You know, they're waiting to hear your story and how you overcame. So that's where I'm at.
Yes, as one of my guests, one of my previous guests said, that she doesn't look at it the way everybody else looks at it. She doesn't look at the why me. She says that out of Job, the first chapter, that Job was being considered, and so that she looks. Yeah. She looks at it like that. I'm being considered. I'm being considered. Will I live up to what God is bragging on me? God is bragging on me. He doesn't put anything on us, but we know that he is able to stop whatever the devil has planned for us, and that should be our prayer every day, you know, that stop the hand of the enemy on this day, like Jabez said, keep me from evil, keep me from evil. But still, we are still challenged by different things. And in our challenging or in our challengement, God is saying, this is my child, and I can trust you with this. I can trust you that you're going to show them, you know, my love. You're going to show them my care, which is what you're doing with the teen mothers. And I commend you, you know, for doing the things of God. It's not easy, people. Like I was saying, when you were gone, it's not, even when you're doing the things that God has called you to do, you're not always going to have the path straight. You're still going to go through challenges. You're still going to, you know, have to look to God. Okay, Lord, what are we going to do about this? Or what are you going to do about this? we still go through that, but it's so much better when we know that we're in the plans of God, when we're doing the thing that God has called us to do. And
that's the important thing, that we have to realize that when stuff like this happens, you have to understand that God is allowing it. We don't think about it when we're going through it. We're like, God can't do this, you know. He's not, you know, but sometimes it is to get us in a place with him where we once was. Maybe we used to pray all the time. Maybe, you know, we used to fast and go to God and say, God, should I do this day, or shouldn't I do this? You know, maybe, you know, it's to get us back in that place where we look to God for everything, where we look to God before we started our day, you know, and we get so, I got a rush. We get so in a rush, we don't reverence God like we used to. We don't reverence him like, you know, when we first got saved, or, you know, that first year of salvation or second year, you know. And I have to, you know, admit I wasn't, you know, seeking God like that. I wasn't, you know, in God's face like I was. I mean, it's so much that in the past 2 years that I've been going through, and sometimes I can't see my way. Sometimes, you know, my flesh says, oh, that ain't going to happen. Oh, that's too big. You know, God is not going to do that. But I still pull it out the back of my mind. I remember when I was at Pastor Wanda Fraser Parker came to Morgan Park, and this was before I had got sick in 2002. And I remember it was October the 18th, 2002, and we were in the small sanctuary. And this day I was just in a worship with God. Nobody else mattered that day. Nobody. I wasn't looking at anybody else. It was just me and God. And I remember this, that she told me. She said, daughter, she said, you shall want for nothing. She said, you shall want for nothing. Anything that you want, God is going to do. That was back in 2002, October 18th, 2002. Right after that, I got real sick in November. I stayed in the hospital 22 days. Had a blood clot in my lungs that almost took me out. But I always go back to that, what she said. You shall want for nothing. Here it is. It is 10 years later. And I still remember that. I still have that in the back of my mind. God, this is what your prophet told me. This is what your servant told me. And I know that you're not a man that you shall lie. So if he said that back in 10 years ago, and I haven't seen the manifestation yet, that means it's still coming. So I have to hold on to what he said to me. Regardless of what I'm going through, regardless of how it seems like the enemy is winning, I still have to hold on to, you shall want for nothing.
Yes.
Nothing. It didn't say you shall want for partial. It said nothing. So that's what I'm holding on to. I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand. Sometimes it gets really rough for me. Sometimes I just want to give up, and I just want to throw in a towel, and, you know, I've contemplated, you know, suicide and just different other things. But in the back of my mind, it comes up, you shall want for nothing. God got you. You just got to hold on. So I just tie a rope. In the spirit, I just tie a rope, and I hang on to that knot. I hang on for dear life because I know real soon it's coming. If I faint not, it's coming. So I, even in my darkest time, I still
am able to get out. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Yeah.
You know, even if I can't do anything else, even if I can't throw up my hand, I still say, God, thank you, even in my tears. God, I don't understand this. I don't understand what you're doing to me, but I thank you because that's all I know. That's all I know what to do. That's all I know how to do is to thank God because in thanking him and he sees my heart, he knows that I am sincere when I say, God, thank you. He knows it. Even if I talk other stuff, he knows that I am depending and trusting on him to do what he said he was going to do. And people don't realize that is when we get in our darkest place and we call out to God, he is our Father. And natural, when you cry out and your Father hears you, your Father comes running. What's wrong with my baby? Are you okay? And that's the same thing as God that I'm learning. When we cry out, and cry out sincerely, and he hears that pitch in our voice that he knows, hold on, let me go see about my baby. What is wrong with my child? Why is my child crying like that? Why is my child doubting me? Why is my child fearing? Why? Let me go see about my child. And that's what he comes and do. He may not come when we want him to, but we know that he's going to come. In his timing, and that's where we get it wrong. You know, preachers always say, oh, in 7 days, God's going to do this and do that, and we always think in the natural. Oh, in 7 days, you know, I'm going to get my new house because I done turned around, I done stumped my toe, I done did it, you know, jumping jacks, high five, split, whatever. But that's not God's timing. 7 days for God could be right now. It can be next week. It could be next year. It could be next month. But we always think it's, okay, God, in 7 days, so 1, 2, 3. So if today's Sunday, that means next Sunday. It necessarily doesn't mean that. But we have to still hold on to God is well able. So that's where I'm at. I'm at a place that I'm trusting God no matter what it looks like. No matter how dull it seems, no matter how dark it seems, I'm still, that little bitty light, I can see it. And that's what I'm looking toward and saying, God, like you did it for Job, here am I. Like you did it for Hezekiah, here am I. Like you did it for Joshua and the children of Israel, here am I. Like you did it for Moses, like you did it for Abraham, and said, here am I. Here am I. Here am I, God.
Yeah.
God didn't give Sarah a baby until she was 100 years old. Here am I, God. Here am I. So that's what I hold on to and that's what I pull out. I go and I read the word and I get it in my heart. And so that way I can regurgitate it and say, God, this is what your word said. This is what you said in your word. So here am I. So that's where I'm at.
We, before you called in, I was saying that, I mean, I was doing a series with Gregory Dickow, and the series was Fasting from Wrong Thinking. And we were just, the subject today was feeling helplessness. Feeling helplessness. So the things that we touched on with that series are some of the same things that you're talking about right now. We do have to hold on, and we do have to remember. I say all the time, I will not be like the Israelites, Lord. I'm going to always remember the things that you've done for me. And in my remembering, and this, I'm going to send this to you, Felicia. In my remembering, it allows me to, it builds me up, it encourages me, because I know that, okay, he got me out of this. He did this for me over here. So this is a small thing for him. This is, you know, this isn't something that is he's not taken by surprise. He just wants to see my reaction, you know, to the situation. Am I going to believe God, even though things are harder now than they've been for me before? Am I still going to believe that he is there faithfully doing the things that he said that he would do for me? Am I going to believe that? Or am I going to forget about the things that he's done for me and fall into a point of despair, a point of, you know, this is it, I'm not going to make it, you know, why me? And that's what you're talking about now. And I just thank God for, you know, you coming on the broadcast and sharing that, because there are a lot of people that are going through, we go through some tough times, even when we're doing the things that God has ordained for us to do. It's not going to always be just rosy and, yeah, I can do this, and, you know, this is a small thing. You know, God is not in it. You know, oh, pity, we're having a pity party for ourselves, but God is not, he's not a man, like you said, Felicia, he's not a man that he will lie and make us, you know, go through this thing by ourselves. We're not by ourselves. God is ever there with us, loving us and telling us, encouraging us, but we have to go and get the encouragement. We have to, like you said, calling out those prophets' names. We got to remember, you know, what they said and what they did and how they overcame. And we will be overcomers. And if we faint not, like you said, if we faint not, then we're going to receive those things that we're believing God for, because we walk by faith and not by sight. So the things that we go through, it's a faith walk. It's a faith walk. Am I going to believe? The Bible says, whose report will you believe? And the song says, we shall believe the report of the Lord. So you're believing the report of the Lord, my sister. And when you believe God, he can't do anything but come through. In sickness, in financial stress, all we have to do is believe him. And I just admire you. I thank God for you. I thank God for your testimonies. Our testimonies are not like the testimonies that we have in church, but our life is a testimony. And when we get on and we talk about our life and we talk about the things that we're doing for God, that's a testimony. And that's encouraging for someone to hear. We're heard around the world. And I know that, you know, some people say that this is unconventional. This is not, you know, this is not what I thought it would be. People are not getting on here, and they're talking too long, and they're talking about things, and they're not saying, I thank and praise God for this, and I thank and praise God for that. But our life is a testimony. The Bible says that we are written epistles read of men. So when men look at our lives, will they see God? Will they see, you know, that we've held on to God? Will they see that we believe what God said that was going to, he was going to do in our lives? Will they see that? I say they will see that in your life, my sister.
Amen. Thank you for that.
They will see that in your life. Your life is a testimony. You're like you're a survivor. You're leaning on the word of God, leaning on the promises that God has made to you.
I see that, and men will see that when they look at your life and when they hear this testimony, when they, we don't have any callers today, but when they go back to the archives and they listen to this broadcast, they will be encouraged. And God is glorified. I knew that he would be. That's why we're here. We want God to get the glory. It's not about us. It's not about the things that we go through, but to give God the glory. That's why we're here. And you have given God the glory today with your testimony, with your organization, with going through the sickness that you're going through. And I just believe that God is going to, with the faith that you have and with me joining in faith with you, and I know that I'm not the only one, but there is power in agreement, and we touch and agree now with you that what you're going through, God is going to bring you out. You completely believe God. I don't care what it looks like. I know that I read up on lupus and they say that it's incurable, but God.
Yep.
They don't put God. They don't put God in the situation. There is no thing too hard for God, and I stand in agreement with you on your healing.
Amen.
I stand in agreement with you on your healing. And my husband is gone now, but you know that you have others that are there standing in agreement with you, and we just want to add our forehand in with that agreement. There's power in agreement, and we stand with you on your healing. We stand with you in your ministry. And I want you, before we get off the air, I want you to give us that information again. And please, listeners, sometimes we don't. I know that looking at myself, I don't have a lot of money to give. But sometimes $25 will help. Sometimes $5 will help. When you make that effort, God will give you the resources, and this is to me too. God will give you the resources to give once he sees you stepping out on faith and helping in something that he has, that he has inspired the person to do. So give us that information again, Felicia, so that if someone wants to give a donation, they want to have prayer. Prayer is always needed. That they will have the information. And if you go to my email address, which is theyovercame2013@gmail.com. It's the same as the broadcast name. I wanted to make it as simplistic as I could make it so that people would be able to remember it. They overcame 2013 at gmail.com. And if you want to make, if you don't catch the information with her, then you can go to my email and I'll be able to send it to you. So go ahead, Felicia, and give us that information again.
Again, it is Divine, which is spelled D-Y-V-I-N-E, Destiny, D-E-S-T-I-N-Y, the letter S as in Frank, T as in Tom, M as in Mary, S as in Sam, @yahoo.com. And our phone number is area code 708-465-7665. You can reach us at any time. Our mailing address is 22332 Governor's Highway, which is Unit 170, Richland Park, Illinois, 60471. We greatly appreciate anything that anybody can do, even if, you know, it's clothes for babies or for the mothers or, you know, shoes or whatever you can do, we are greatly appreciated to you. We are a 501c3, so it is taxable. You know, you do get the credit for that. So, you know, just anything will help. Any donation, monetary or, you know, clothes-wise, shoes-wise, baby cribs, whatever you can do, we are greatly appreciated, and we don't take it lightly. Nothing is too small at all. So we do just greatly appreciate whatever anybody can do.
Well, we just thank God for you and all that you're doing. And we thank you for coming on today and being our guest. I know I called you at the last minute and asked you, had some other people that I had asked, and they were not able to do it. But God knows, and I've placed this ministry in God's hands. And I say, Lord, you know who's supposed to be here. You know who is going to bless your people and be a blessing to the broadcast. And we just thank God for you. And I'm going to ask you, we're at the end of the two-hour point, and because we don't have any other callers, we're going to end it now. But Felicia, could you end us in prayer, praying that whoever listens to the broadcast will be encouraged, whoever, you know, needs the encouragement will listen to the archives. And you can go to New Destiny Blog Talk Radio.com. New Destiny Ministries, Adrian Bernard, and look for They Overcame. You can listen to her broadcast also, because she's had some awesome topics that they've been talking about. And listen to what you want to listen to, because you can go there anytime, 24 hours, 7 days a week, to listen to the archives of every broadcast that is done. She's been doing this for almost 2 years now, and I so thank God that she has opened up this door for us to be able to have this segment called They Overcame, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So can you just give us a ending prayer, Sister Felicia?
Amen. Yes. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for this gathering. God, you know our hearts. God, you know where we need to be. And so, God, we thank you on this morning. God, we thank you for everything that you're going to do, everything that you have done. God, we ask you to open up people's minds and understanding to see that your work is where it's going to be, God. God, we ask you, oh God, to bless us to Billy, oh God, and the things that she's trying to do, oh God, and the things that she puts out, oh God. God, replenish it, oh God. Replenish the time, oh God. Replenish the effort, oh God. God, we thank you because we need this. Early in the morning, God, you say meet you. And so that's what we're doing, God. That's what we're doing. We're giving testimonies of your goodness and what you do in our lives, God. God, we thank you for every listener that is on the phone, oh God. Oh God, for every listener that will go in the archives and listen to this message on today. God, we thank you that you are pricking their heart, oh God. God, we thank you that you are putting an understanding in what your work is trying, what we're trying to do, oh God. God, we ask you to bless their household. God, whatever their desire is, oh God, give it to them, God. If it's in your will, God, we thank you for manifestation, oh God, that is going to take place, God. We thank you, God, for the blessings that is coming our way, oh God, just for us being obedient. God, we thank you because we know that you are God
and there's nobody above or beneath you, oh God. We thank you for your love. God, we thank you for your grace. God, we thank you for your new mercies that you show us every single day. God, we ask you for healing. God, touch each and everyone's body that is on this line, oh God. Even if they don't know what's going on, God, we ask you for your healing. You said, by your stripes we are healed. And we hold on to that, oh God. We thank you for this, oh God. We thank you for this day, God. Now we ask you to bless as we go on about our day, oh God. Oh God, bless in a mighty way, oh God. Bless in a mighty way. God, somebody is waiting on something. God, somebody is waiting on a word from you. God, send it to them. Send it to them, oh God, to let them know that you are still God and that you will not put more on us than we can bear. Oh God, we thank you, we praise
you,
we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, my sister, I thank God for you, and I did not know that you were in the hospital last night, and God is going to bless you double. I decree it now for you getting up this morning and getting on the call. I just know that God is going to bless you because we are in line. We're in line for God to bless us. When we do the things that God has called us to do, we're next in line for blessings. So, I just praise God for you. I praise God for you. And as I talked to you last night, don't forget to give my bishop a kiss from me. Tell him that we love him and we miss him.
Amen.
And we're going to try to see him before the year is out. We're going to try to get home so that we can see him before the year is out. So is there anything else that you want to say before we end this broadcast?
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for allowing me to tell my story and get out there that God is still good. No matter what it looks like, he's still good.
Yes, he is. Well, thank you. And I just want to, by way of announcements, we, New Destiny Ministries, is planning a crusade in the Carolinas. Yay! And we, September the 5th through the 7th, we don't have all the information, but just marking your calendar, if you can get here in September for our listeners and for even for you, our sister Felicia, we have a room for you if you come here.
I'm coming.
So, we would be so blessed. But all roads lead to the Carolinas. Sister Adrienne, the Lord gave her to do some crusades around the United States, and we're the first place that she has heard from God to do the crusades. It's September the 5th through the 7th, and we are looking forward to it. And remember, New Destiny Ministries every day, 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central time, and 4 o'clock Eastern time. And she has some awesome speakers. I'm blessed every time I listen to her broadcast. So tune in to her broadcast. And again, tune in and tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemy to call in the same number, 858-683-1334, to give testimony to the Lord. God is doing some awesome things, and we just want the world to know what he's doing. We just want everyone to be encouraged. We want everyone to be uplifted. We want everybody to come into the ark of safety. If you have loved ones that are not saved, have them to listen to the broadcast, any of the broadcasts, New Destiny Ministries or They Overcame, to hear what God is doing so that they can be encouraged to, you know, to want to know what must I do to be saved. That's what we're here for. So until, thank you, my sister. I love you.
I love you, too. Thank you.
And until next week, I just want to praise you. Our theme song. Do you like our theme song? I love that song. Marit Brown. I just love that song. She Marit Brown. Is that one of your relatives?
No, I wish it was.
Well, maybe somewhere down the road. She's because Brown is your maiden name, right?
Correct.
Okay, and so maybe that somewhere down the road she's related to you. We're all related some kind of way.
Amen.
Okay, until next week, we just want to praise you.
All right, God bless.
God bless.